The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Well, if you take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we'll be doing some biographical preaching here pretty soon. Not autobiographical, just biographical. This is the reading of God's Word. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few. And those who look through the windows grow dim. And the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. And one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and terrors on the road. And the almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Havel of Havels, says Kohelet, all is Havel. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we think this afternoon of our dear sister, Lucy Corliss, and we pray that you would be with her and Tom, and pray that you'd heal Lucy from this pneumonia and give her a speedy recovery from her surgery. And Lord, we think of Carissa this afternoon too, and we pray that you would be strong in her life and that you would heal her body. And Father, we thank you that we do have those passages that remind us that you are our exceedingly great reward. And Lord, we know that to live is Christ, to die is gain. We also know that whether by life or death, our desire is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to do that. Give us insight and wisdom as we look at this text, which is a little sad, but we pray that you would give us a perspective on it so that when it comes time to die, all we'll need to do is die. In Christ's name, amen. So this morning we looked at Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And so if you're a young person, that really was a message for you. But the reason that Solomon says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, is because the evil days are coming. And the evil days are actually a depiction of the days of old age. Now, the problem with the evil days is that the one who's living them says, I have no delight in them. In other words, as we saw this morning, the gifts, the joys of this life start to slip away. And so now what Solomon is going to do is Solomon is going to give us some vivid, if not cryptic, descriptions, first of all, of old age and then of death. And the first description of old age is, so remember your Creator, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and clouds return after the rain. You might remember last week we said that the exhortation in 11:7 is, the light is pleasant and it's good for the eyes to see the sun. This is the picture of enjoying the blessings of life, being able to see the sun, as it were. And now this first description of old age is the capacity to enjoy life, that is to see the sun, diminishes. It's getting dark. And on top of that, it's not just a matter of it getting dark, but it's also the issue of, instead of the sun coming out after the rainstorm, old age is marked by one rainstorm after another after another. Of course, in youth, sickness passes, health returns. In old age, one dark cloud is followed by another. In other words, the capacity to enjoy life diminishes, and you have sorrow after sorrow and sickness after sickness. One commentator explains the succession of clouds as the repetitive gloom into which the elderly may be prone to fall as they encounter setback after setback in the final years of their life. When I used to hear people say, "I'm thankful for my health," I used to say, "Oh, there's a lot of other stuff to be thankful for." To be able to say, "I'm thankful for my health," is a huge thing. And you're able to say it less and less as the years go by. Then Solomon says, "In that day, the watchmen of the house tremble." And there is somewhat of a consensus here, the watchmen of the house being the arms and the hands, once strong and sturdy, now shake with age. The mighty men stoop, probably the legs, once strong and sturdy, now weakened and bent with age. The grinding ones stand idle because they are few. That is, the tooth population is declining, and the remaining survivors are less active. And those who look through the window grow dim. That is, their eyes lose their strength. Now, you know what we call that? It's called presbyopia. It's not just something Presbyterians suffer from. Presbyopia, presby, it's not Presbyterian, but it is related. Presbyteros, elder. Okay? Presbyopia, old eyes. Okay? I looked up presbyopia just because I think it's just a fun word to say. Mayo Clinic website, presbyopia is the gradual loss of your eye's ability to focus on nearby objects. Any amens? It is a natural, often annoying part of aging. Presbyopia usually becomes noticeable, pay attention, in your early to mid-40s and continues to worsen until about the age of 65. Glaucoma, cataracts. Cataract surgery is amazing. We should give thanks to God for these little advancements. But I'll tell you what, one of these days you're not going to be able to see anything. And the doors on the street are shut at the sound of the grind, and the sound of the grinding mill is low. Now, this particular image is a little, was debated. So some say the doors on the street are shut. So it's the idea of loss of hearing. And the doors are shut, that's the ears, and now they can barely hear the grinding sound that's produced from the mill that used to be annoying to them. Okay? Others say the doors on the street are your lips, and they curl over your gums, and the sound of the grinding mill is low, that is, you can only eat soft food. I'll let you decide for yourself. One will arise at the sound of a bird. So if the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and that is loss of hearing, then there's also sort of a conflicting ailment, and that is not only are you losing hearing, but despite the loss of hearing, the person's a light sleeper so that the sound of a little tiny chirping bird wakes them up. And all the daughters of song will sing softly. There's another irony. Although the bird chirping wakes them up, they actually can no longer really hear music and song to appreciate it anymore. Furthermore, Solomon says, men are afraid of a high place and terrors on the road. As old age begins to creep in, there's an increased fear of heights. Since no more ladders, no more escalators, no more stairs. Now I say that with two of our seasoned saints, one now in heaven, George, who in his old age continued to get up on ladders and showed no fear, even though he would fall off. Tom Corliss, the same way. You know, what else should an 80-year-old man do but get up on a ladder in a 100-mile-an-hour windstorm, right? And so this doesn't equally apply to everybody, but most people get more afraid of heights and they don't like going up ladders or escalators or stairs, but they're also afraid to travel. There are terrors on the road. So the older they get, the more they want to stay home. They want to stay away from anything that actually might pose a threat. You know, I watched this with my grandfather. My grandfather raised pigs for as long as I could remember. And he would often, if they came and visited on a Saturday, he would say usually about, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock, B, it's time to go. We got to feed the pigs. Okay? And that was true. But as time went on, he'd leave earlier and earlier saying it's time to feed the pigs. And at one point I said, Grandpa, you don't even have any pigs anymore. Don't like driving at night. Scares me. Right? The almond tree blossoms. Guess what that is? I see some. Some of you got really have blossoming almond trees. The white hair overtakes the one at one time black hair of the prime of life. The grasshopper drags himself along. This one is also difficult. One really wonderful Old Testament commentator, Walt Kaiser, says that what's the description of the grasshopper dragging himself along is the halting gait of the elderly, maybe even as they carry their cane. And the caperberry is ineffective. Now, some of you are going to not like this part very much, but I would just remind you that I'm preaching and not Daniel. Daniel's text was on David's dowry to Saul. You know he was going to call that 100 tips on marriage. No wonder God let him get sick. So the caperberry is ineffective. All right. So most commentators believe that the caperberry was an aphrodisiac that aroused desire and power. And so the image is impotency. So you come to a point where the lack of desire cannot be reversed with either ancient or modern caperberries. And then finally, for man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. Here's the inescapable reality is that old age culminates in death. Man goes to his eternal home while the mourners are out in the street. Perhaps the family had gathered around the deathbed, and death has come and taken yet another victim, and the body, which was at one time strong and virile, has now deteriorated and has finally given out. And I would just remind us, don't miss the echo to the young. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Because here's the reality, is that for most of us, not all of us, God is not obligated to give you a certain number of years. But for many, old age is coming. And here's the thing about it, is that as Solomon is going to say in just a few short verses, it's a breath. One day you feel that you're young and virile and strong, and then one day you wake up and you realize that's not you anymore. And so old age is coming. I used to tease my dad. I don't know why we call him this, but we called him Love Handles. I used to tease my dad, and he used to say, "Better shut up. You'll have them before too long." And you know what? He was right. He was right. The things that we laugh at and think that will never come to us in our youth, by the way, they come upon you much faster than you could ever realize. And there's something that goes on up here that doesn't comport with what goes on here. And so Solomon says, old age is coming, and then death. So remember your Creator now, before old age comes and before death knocks on your door. Now Solomon is going to give us vivid descriptions of death in verses 6 and 7. And in a sense, these anatomical puzzles are even more difficult than the ones on aging. And in fact, they're so difficult that some commentators think that you shouldn't try to figure out the specific descriptions. And so, for instance, one commentator, a very fine commentator, he says the imagery is just of an ended life. It's brutal, it's final. It's removed, it's smashed, it's broken, it's crushed. That's the only picture that's being conveyed here. Others actually take a good stab at the specific meanings. And so we'll just give a few stabs here, and we may be right, we may be wrong, but I think at the end of the day, what the picture is that death ends in us being smashed and crushed physically. So the first depiction is, remember him. So the New American Standard puts that back in to sort of anchor us back to that first exhortation, right? So remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. Now, some commentators think that what's being described is the silver cord is the spine, the golden bowl is the brain, and there comes a point where they are crushed. That is, they are no longer functioning. They're no longer doing what they are supposed to do. The next picture is the pitcher by the well is shattered. Now, some say that this may just be a picture of a failed heart. It was actually the old Puritan William Bridge who suggested that it was the bladder. I quote a Puritan from the 1660s. "'Tis the bladder which did hold the urine, which old age doth insensibly pass away." take your choice. If you get depends, then you know which one you probably will gravitate towards. And the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Perhaps the pulmonary system, perhaps the nervous system. Whatever the actual pictures are conveying, whatever the allegories may represent, the point is clear. That which at one time functioned, that which at one time served a purpose, that which at one time was beneficial, is now gone. It's crushed, it's shattered, it's worthless. In other words, the body is finally given out. And its ultimate giving out ends in death. Now, one thing that we should keep in mind as we think about these images is that sometimes, indeed oftentimes, the ravages of old age, all of which are a precursor to our death, are cruel and unrelenting and show no mercy. Whether it is the one whose legs are so weakened he can't even walk anymore, or the one whose mind is virtually gone, unable to retain any short-term thoughts. The fact is that as these lives wind down, they wind down in often cruel ways, and then the final sentence, the dust will return to the earth as it was. It's interesting that when Solomon wants to describe the ravages of old age, he uses these images. When he gets to death, he uses these images. But when he wants to really underscore the finality of it, you know what he does? He doesn't use obscure images. He actually uses language that comes right from Genesis chapter 3. In other words, what we're seeing with old age, what we're seeing with death is nothing less than the curse. This whole book has been infused with Genesis chapter 3, and Kohelet reminds us that these bodies are but dust. And one of these days, these bodies will return to dust. As God told Adam, "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." In Adam, we all sinned. And in Adam, we all die. And so the dust returns to the earth as it was. But that's not the end for Solomon. Solomon is not some sort of pessimist that just says, well, you know what? Death comes and then it's all over. That's not true. Solomon turns around and he says, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Now, he's already said earlier in this same chapter, man goes to his eternal home. Now, for sure, Ecclesiastes does not give us, as it were, a thorough perspective on the afterlife, but there is most definitely this affirmation that the soul or the spirit separated from the body at death returns to the God who gave it. In other words, even though these bodies may wind down and their usefulness will come to an end and their vigor will come to an end, and one of these days we will simply lay there and everything that has functioned will stop functioning and we will go back to the dust from which we came. But then Solomon says, that's not all there is. Thanks be to God, that's not all there is. What an incredibly dismal message that says God may give you a few years, he may give you a few more than a few, but the fact is that once you die, it's all over. You close your eyes, lights out, show over, unplug the TV, it's all done. And the reality is that once those eyelids close in death, there is still life. There are times when a loved one departs that the reality of the spirit returns to God who gave it becomes the only thing that keeps you sane. I think for as long as I live, I'll remember November 3rd, 2019. My dad called me at 2:30 in the morning. My mom, who was supposed to be going home from the hospital later that day, died in her hospital bed at 71 years old. 71. Do you know why we sing songs like "When We See Your Face"? Because that is our hope. That when these eyes close in death, death does not have the last word. Because Jesus Christ conquered death. And he conquered my sin. Therefore, he is the Lord of life. And with full confidence, you can live and die in that peace. Most of you know, I've talked about it before, that the day after I had brain surgery, my heart stopped. I knew what was happening, and I thought, I'm dead. This is it. I'm going to die. And here was the thought that came to me. I'd have a weird thought, and then this thought. You, like, weird stuff happens in your brain when you're going lights out, right? And I kept thinking, Lord, my life is in your hands. And I knew I was fine. I knew I was fine. My life is in your hands. My heart could have stopped permanently. I could have never come to physically. But to die is gain. As a Christian, you don't lose anything. You don't lose a thing. In fact, Solomon gives us the verdict on old age and death, 12:8. And he concludes the same way he started, right? Vanity of vanities, boo. Havel of havels, breath of breaths, says Kohelet. Everything is a breath. Vapor of vapors, everything's a vapor. Youth is a vapor. Old age is a vapor. Life is a vapor. It's just all a vapor. And this life, which is a gift, will in fact be over before we know it. And so the only way to enjoy it is to actually tattoo on your brain Ecclesiastes 1, 2, and 12, 8. Look at life as a gift, not an achievement. Look at life as a vapor from the standpoint of your deathbed. And then, if you do that, if you just say, okay, life's a vapor, life is really short, it's a gift from God, I need to enjoy it while I have it, then when old age begins to come and the gifts begin to slip away, you don't despair. I quoted this before. Vin Scully, who the famed baseball announcer of 67 baseball seasons, said on his retirement, and this is so Ecclesiastes-like, don't be sad, it's over. Smile because it happened. Don't be sad, it's over. Smile because it happened. I think Kohelet would say, amen. Even though Kohelet was a Giants fan and not a Dodgers fan, I think he still could have given an amen to Vin Scully. So here's the verdict on all of it. By the way, the ravages of old age described for us in chapter 12, it's a blessing that they're a breath. Right? So it's all a vapor. So let me just make two important points of application and then we'll be done. Number one is old age can be dangerous. Old age can be dangerous. These are evil days, Solomon says. Now, the old Puritan, William Bridge, actually had a little treatise called A Word to the Aged. And there are a number of things that he says that are really, really worth repeating. So he says, you not only have in old age physical infirmities, but you also need to watch out for moral and spiritual infirmities. So he says, for instance, the elderly are apt to be too covetous and tenacious for the things of the world. As wantonness is the young man's vice, so covetousness is the old man's sin. Wow. Cornelius Van Til, who taught apologetics at Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia for many, many years, actually always a single man, and in his old age, he would have young students come and sit down with Uncle Corny. Okay? And he would give them wisdom. At one point, a young man said to Dr. Van Til, he says, it must be a blessing to be past that time of temptation. And Van Til looked at him and said, young man, the sins of my youth are the sins of my old age. And so Bridge's point is actually really, really important. And that is, it may be that as time goes on, we become too tenaciously covetous of worldly things because we realize that our time has passed. Bridge says they're apt to be fearful. And then he says this, and this is really, I think it's borne out so many times, they're apt to be too touchy, too peevish, angry. For old age is continued sickness, and in sickness men are apt to get angry. Pastor Albert Martin said something one time in a sermon many years ago, and now he is an old man. But he said, brethren, as you age, as you get older and older, you will either become a more and more of a grouch, or you'll become sweeter and sweeter. How many of you have watched an elderly person who at one time was fun and vibrant and had a sense of humor, and all of a sudden they're angry over everything, very touchy, irritable? It's a danger of old age. Bridge says they may think they know more than others and become unteachable. Now, you don't have to be old to be that, all right? But there's something that is seriously unbecoming when an older person is always reminding you how much older they are than you and how much smarter they are than you. Listen, Sonny, when I was your age, listen to me, I got it all figured out now. Bridge says they become hard to please and full of complaints. This is a quote. He says, apt are they also to think and speak of the sins of their youth with delight, and so to commit them again by thought and word, which they cannot come at by their action. I have heard older men glory in the sins of their youth. He says, this is so Puritan-like, be sure that you do not chew the cud of your former sins by musing on them with delight, for thereby you justify your former practice, but rather mourn over them. For the way to keep them, to keep from future sin, is to mourn the former sins. And the way to keep sins from old age is to mourn for the sins of our youth. One more thing that he says is old age can sometimes lead us to becoming suspicious of everybody. In fact, suspecting the worst of everybody and fearing the worst from everybody. There are dangers in old age, but there is a way to escape these dangers. Remember, old age will test our commitments to God and to the things of earth. Okay. That is actually one of the blessings of old age, is that it tests our hearts. So if there is much resentment and much anger at old age, it's because we're coveting our younger years and spoiling the gift of youth by trying to grab onto it too tightly, that chapter's gone. That ship sailed. There is no sense whatsoever in becoming angry at the fact that those chapters are gone. In fact, if you're angry at old age, you're just an old fool. But for those who have walked with God, for those who have had lived their life with their affections on Christ, for those that actually enjoyed the gifts while they had them, they now look forward to something greater. That is in a real sense the wonder of the gift of old age is that as time has gone on, old age loosens the grip that we have on the things of earth and prepares us. My grandmother, my dad's mom, my dad's parents were my grandparents. And I loved them. And they loved me. Herbert and Beatrice. Okay? If that ain't a grandma and grandpa name, I don't know what is. Okay? And my grandmother was in a home at this point. She was about 82 or so. She was really suffering physically. I came to see her, and she said, "Brian, why does God leave me here?" Fair question, right? I said, "Grandma," I said, "I don't know. But I do know every day here makes heaven sweeter. Every day here makes heaven sweeter." And so, old age is a gift in that it loosens our grip on the things of earth and prepares us for greater things. Here's the wonderful reality is that we're not talking about God gave you gifts during this really short life, and then when you get old, he's going to take them away, and then once they're gone forever, and then you go to heaven and you're bored for eternity. No. Here's the picture that we should think of as we suffer old age. Here's what we should think of. This is from Joe Rigney. He says, "Death takes away our earthly delights, and the resurrection restores them in spades. Nothing good will ever be finally lost." It's not just that all the best joys here point to joys there, but that many of the best joys here will actually be there, only glorified, transfigured, and heightened beyond our imagination. It's like the last battle. Narnia is kind of like this, but just way better. And so, what seems to slip away in old age is restored in Christ Jesus in ways that go so far beyond anything we could ever imagine. You think you enjoy the sun now? You just wait. You think you enjoy colors now? You just wait. You think you enjoy beauty now? You just wait. There is a world that God is preparing for us that surpasses anything that this life could ever give. And the things that we enjoy in this life are just these tiny, tiny little foretastes of what God is preparing for those who love Him. And so, as you age, as the gifts slip away, look to God for dying grace. Sometimes we think about dying and it scares us. Sometimes we think about that moment and what it will be like, and our hearts are filled with at least some trepidation. Corrie Ten Boom used to say, God will always pay your train fare, but only right before you board. Your confidence is that when this life begins to ebb away, God will come with dying grace and give you grace for every labored breath and give you grace for every fading heartbeat. And so what would Solomon say to us? He would say, be ready. Be ready. It's going to happen. Be ready. If it doesn't happen today, enjoy today as much as you can. But be ready for tomorrow. Make sure that you take care of your relationship with God today. You make sure your walk with Jesus is solid today. You make sure that your love for God and for the people in your life is on a firm foundation, so that when you come to die, the only thing that will be left for you is to simply die. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gritty realism of your word. Father, we thank you that we're not given some kind of shallow Pollyanna view of life and aging and death, but Lord, you grip us with the truth. And so, Father, we pray that we would be men and women, young and old, who realize this life is a breath, this life is a gift, I'm going to live it to the full, and then God will take me home, and it gets better. And so, Father, we pray that you'd help us to live in that and that you'd help us to die in that. And Father, we think of some of our seasoned saints who are much closer to that time than any of us might realize. And we pray that you would pour out dying grace on their dying ground, that they would be eager to see you face to face. Receive our thanks and our praise for Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.